Welcome back to This Week in MCU, the weekly after show talking all things Marvel Cinematic Universe related. I'm Kurt, and with me on this journey, as always, is
How's my name?
Senraven.
Oh, hey. Hey, good call.
It's good been morning. A while.
It's been a little bit.
I actually
but there's
looked.
Been nothing going on.
I know. The last episode that we recorded was July 30th.
Really? Has it been that long?
It's been that long.
Oh,
that
my
was
God.
The last episode of Secret Invasion. Which
before, and so you had a bit of a dry spell.
A little bit. Now, from everything that we can tell, things are heating back up again. We got the Marvels coming on pretty soon, and
we also had this little problem of a strike.
Yeah.
For a couple of months there, with everything getting delayed and pushed back, and
right.
Yeah. Luckily, that's done. I think the actors are still on strike, right?
I think they are.
Right, the writers is done. The actors are still on strike. I'm sure that's going to get wrapped up fairly quickly with the writers back to work. So hopefully the actors start back up. My favorite was like, as soon as the writer's strike got wrapped up, all the notifications for like all the TV shows that I watch started popping up. Like, hey, we're going live on November 16th. We're live this day. We new yep. episodes this day. I'm like, all right, you guys just been like sitting there with us just waiting.
Right. And in the meantime, I'm sitting here finding, oh, this new reality show is starting, and this new reality show is starting, and this new game show is starting. And I'm like, oh.
It's cheap, and that's the problem.
Last time
it happened, we got so much reality TV out of it that now Discovery is in charge of HBO.
And more game shows. It's like, can we just
I got sucked into, because there was nothing to watch on TV, and we have all the subscriptions between, people share passwords, so everybody's got everything. I got sucked into all the shows on Max for Street Outlaws, the drag racing stuff.
Oh, jeez.
I've just been watching one after another.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them.
Yeah, not me so much. I'm still watching my British soap opera because they're not on strike.
Wait, which one is that?
Coronation Street.
Oh, Coronation Street. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So I've been watching that every day. But otherwise, are there any of the reality shows that I'm watching? There might be one. Oh, it's a Gordon Ramsay one. They brought back Kitchen Nightmares.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it's been like 7 years since the last.
Has it really?
Something like that. Yeah, it's crazy.
I used to watch that on regular basis.
Yep. So they started it up again.
I think I watched through like season 7 for every season, and then I stopped.
Yep. And guess what? Restaurant owners now aren't any better than they were back then.
No.
Jeez. So, but yeah, I've been trying to stay away from the reality stuff. I never got into things like The Bachelor or Dancing with the Stars or any of that stuff.
We watched not the Dancing with the Stars, the other one. So You Think You Can Dance for a little while. Mm-hmm. For a few seasons, and then just kind of lost track of it after a bit.
Yeah.
But there was that had some really incredible talent come through.
I'm sure. If I'm looking for good dancers to watch, I'll go to YouTube. And there's this dude, I can't remember his name, but holy cow, just ridiculously talented. And a swan named Emily. I basically pointed him towards her so she could see, because she wasn't familiar with him. He was just amazing. Some dancer from Japan. So, and I watched a lot of West Coast Swing videos.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
it's my world right there.
Yeah. So that just looks like a lot of fun.
It is.
So all right. So. While this drought has been happening, I also have been trying to keep up on any Marvel news, and I really haven't found anything new except today something popped up on my feed. Mark Shankman, the guy that's directing Fantastic Four.
Okay.
They're going to start filming next year in London at Pinewood Studios.
Okay.
Which is cool. And he was asked, as always, about the cast. And he says he can't answer anything because of the actor's strike.
Right. So they got people lined up.
They have people.
They haven't finalized stuff because of the strike. But everybody's set to go. As soon as the strike is over, they're like, okay, we're already signed. Let's do this.
Well, and even though Krasinski said that he didn't think he'd be doing it again.
I don't think he's doing it.
I don't think so either.
I don't think Krasinski's going to do it.
Well, and the last rumor that I had heard was Adam Driver, but I also heard he became problematic at one point. So
okay.
I don't know. Who knows who it's going to be? Yeah. I think it'd be nice if it was somebody like a Krasinski. But I'm not sure who that should be.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm pretty sure as soon as the strike is over, we'll find out everything about casting and everything else.
You know who could be a decent read, but they'd have to make them more established, like having been around for a little while, not do an origin story. Like I love the idea of the Fantastic Four having been away, like maybe in the negative zone or somewhere, but they've been around since the 60s, but have been away. Right. I think John Hamm.
Oh, that would be cool.
Could do a Reed Richards.
That would be cool. I like that, and yet I don't want it because I like him more in a comedic role.
I do too. I love him in a comedic role, but he was fantastic in Mad Men.
Well, he was fantastic in Mad Men, but he's fantastic in everything I've seen him in.
Fair.
Especially like the latest thing I saw him in was season 2 of why am I blanking on it? Good Omens. Good Omens. Season 2.
Oh, okay. And I still haven't seen Good Omens.
It is so good.
Yeah, I need to go back.
The first season was very, you know, very well done because you had the source material, and the second season is just Neil Gaiman just having a full run of it, and really well done, just awesome show. And he was great on it. Ham does a great job on it, but it's got a little more of a, you know, comedy feel to it the way he's been doing stuff lately, and I really like that when he does that.
Yeah, me too. No, he's got really good comedic timing. So, all right. So, have you heard any more news?
Well, we got stuff like Daredevil and Ironheart roughly being slated for January 2015, but it's
2025.
Sorry, 2025. Yes. No. But hey, this is Loki season 2, so, you know, anything's possible, right? Time travel.
Which means we'll be watching it right after this episode.
Exactly. Wait, have we seen? No, we haven't seen it yet. Okay, got it. They're roughly slated for January 2025. But, you know, dates will shift more than likely. So things like that. We got Park Se-yoon in the Marvels, which is out next month, and he's playing Prince Yan, and that's supposed to be either Captain Marvel's boyfriend or fiance or something, according to the comics.
Huh.
I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, so that's coming up. Prince Yan. Huh.
Yeah. Right. Me neither. And there was one more thing that I am completely forgetting.
Was it a release date?
Marvel announced a MCU special live concert.
What does that
could
mean?
Be fun. Yeah. It's a... I'm guessing they're gonna do like I'll send you the link for it.
Okay. All right.
Because I saw the title and I'm like, this sounds great. This is a really long article that I can't freaking doesn't have like a little short thing. So look, you know, if people are interested in finding out, it looks like they might do. I'm guessing it might be something like the video game stuff.
Yeah.
where they do the live concert with an orchestra playing like Final Fantasy music, stuff like that. So it could be something like that, but I'll send you the article for it because I didn't get a chance to read on it. I just saw the title. I was like, this sounds like it's cool. Well, we'll figure it out. Marvel would be bringing a Disney Plus special presentation of Werewolf by Night to two U.S. cities for a live concert event.
A Werewolf by Night. I like that idea. I like that idea quite a bit.
Like, that's what I was trying to find in the article, like a little snippet that will tell me a rough idea of what it is, and I just could not see it. But there we go.
What I like less is I had read an announcement that they were going to release Werewolf by Night in color.
Oh,
But
No,
the
I hope
problem with
not.
that is that it was in black and white to begin with, fine, and it was great in black and white, but they introduced color in the black and white to give it effect.
Oh yeah, it does mention it here that the concert is right around October 20th when Disney Plus will have it released and re-released in color.
And they also released Werewolf by Night on Hulu, which I thought was interesting. Not a surprise, really.
Yeah, Disney owns majority, so I'm sure whatever's like R-rated, they're gonna throw on there because Disney Plus is more PG-13 and lower.
I'm gonna go back and rewatch
Yeah,
Werewolf by Night just 'cause I
I think
really
we might be
enjoyed it.
watching it for Halloween.
So, all right, cool. Let's go ahead and jump into it. Basically, if you want to follow us, you can follow us on twitch.tv/VOByCurtain. Subscribe to the podcast by going to not Anchor. How about, because it's now Spotify. So let's go to tiny.cc/TWIMCU, standing for This Week in MCU, all lowercase, and that'll bring you to the Spotify channel. If you want to watch us live, subscribe and click that notification bell right here on Twitch, because. Yeah, we don't know when we're gonna go live, but it's usually gonna be the weekend after the episode airs. So, if you have any comments, questions, suggestions, send an email to thisweekinmcu@gmail.com. And if you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts slash iTunes, we will read it during the recording of this podcast. And this podcast is going to have a lot of spoilers. So, if you've not seen the episode, pause this, go back, watch the episode, come back.
Oh shit, I'll be right back.
Yeah, okay. So, all right. The episode one entitled Ouroboros, which I always love as a name. So we get a previously on, and it basically just recaps the entire season one. Cool.
Which I was very happy that they did because
You
that's a
pre
lot of
yeah,
stuff.
it's a lot of
And it's been a
stuff.
little while.
Yep. So, and we get the Marvel flip. I don't know if it's been this way for a little bit, because we didn't get the Marvel flip for Secret Invasion. So, but we see during the Marvel zoom in on the Marvel Studios logo, Kamala Khan has been added to the letters, and so has Shuri in a Black Panther costume.
Shuri, I've seen before. I'm
I
not
just
sure if I've
couldn't
seen Kamala
remember.
Khan
It's
before.
been months, so I don't remember. So we open on a statue of He Who Remains.
Oh, hold on.
Yes.
When they brought up the Marvel Studios,
Yes.
they did the green like they
Yeah.
did in season one for the Loki. Did you see that they flashed it gold?
I did not, but
Yeah, they got it. They like a yellow or a gold like quick flash that came across of it.
nice. I did not notice that.
Yeah.
So yeah, we open up on a He Who Remains statue, and Loki is running down the hallway, being chased down by Mobius and B-15, who at this point do not know who he is. So what does Loki do? He jumps off the balcony and he hits a mail truck, which is a hover truck, flying in the air, and it throws the driver so much that she basically drives into and glances off of a He Who Remains statue in the middle of the TVA. It veers off and crashes into a room where Casey is cleaning up and he's listening to a self-help tape on a Sony Walkman.
The fact that they gave him a Sony
I
Walkman is
know.
just perfect.
Yep, with corded headphones and everything. And so Loki, this mail truck crashes rear first into this room, breaks the window and everything. Loki gets out of the mail truck and everyone's staring at him, and he sees Casey and says, "Hey, Casey, you got to help me." And the car that crashed falls out of the window and you hear it hit the pavement below, whatever below. The floor below.
I like that he goes, "Oh, she'll be okay.
She'll be okay." Yeah.
And you can just hear the, "Oh."
Right. And you see the giant, those round monitors that show you the sacred timeline. You see one of those fall from the ceiling, and it basically lands on the TVA crest on the floor and cracks it. Now, this is one of those first times where they showed the crack, and I'm going, "Oh, well, clearly they want us to remember that this happened because it was pretty obvious."
Right.
So, Casey doesn't recognize him, and Casey pulls out his temp pad, and he goes, "We've got an intruder. I've got him. I've got him." And we see Loki. I wrote warp out because we didn't know what it was called at the time. But
yeah,
he kind of like stretches inside out type of thing and disappears. And he shows.
Yeah, that looked really painful.
It looked really painful. And it should. and he shows back up at the TVA and in that same room, and he sees Casey, and Casey goes, "Loki." And Loki goes, "Oh, you recognize me." And then Loki notices the cracked TVA logo on the floor. Remember we talked about that? and he goes, "Oh, I was in the past and now I'm in the future or the present." So he goes, "Hey, where's Mobius and B-15? And Casey goes, "They're probably in Chrono Bay 3. And we hear that sound of Loki's body being turned inside out and warping off again. And so he disappears in front of Casey. And title. So we open from the title screen onto a sacred timeline monitor and branches everywhere. Like, it's like the sacred timeline's red. There's branches everywhere. People are freaking out. Cats are sleeping with dogs. It's nutty. And the lights are flickering. And Casey walks up on Mobius and B-15 to let him know that Loki was looking for them. And Casey said, "Well, I mean, he was, but then he disappeared." And for some reason, Hunter X5 comes in and he's holding up that jet ski magazine that Mobius had on his desk and said,
"Have we seen him before? Is he a new one or did we see him in
season?" I think we saw him in season one, but I didn't think he was doing anything special.
Okay.
But, he holds up Mobius's magazine and says, "Hey, is this on the sacred timeline?" And, because he's just giving him a hard time. And X5 was there to retrieve Mobius and B-15 because there's a new judges council since Ravonna Renslayer is missing. And there's three people sitting on the council. One of them is sleeping, and I don't believe we got his name. But there's General Dox and Judge Gamble. This is these are the first new characters, so I did a little research. General Dox could be a variation of a character called Paradox from She-Hulk.
Interesting.
And because Paradox was also related to the TVA, but during the She-Hulk comics, because She-Hulk is weird, was erased out of existence when he was hit by the retroactive canon.
Okay.
The ret canon.
Right.
It was a tongue in cheek thing at like changing continuity. So and Judge Gamble could be Professor Gamble, who was also with the TVA and debuted in Paradox debuted in She-Hulk in 2005. Professor Gamble with the TVA debuted in Power Man and Iron Fist from 1981. So, and
side note, Judge Gamble is being played by Liz Carr.
Yep.
Who's a wonderful actress. And, as a throwback, she was just on season 2 of, Good Omens.
Oh, was she? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't remember if she was on season 1, but I know she was on season 2.
Yeah. And she was great in this.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever seen her in anything else. So, X5 is saying, hey, they want to see you in the war room. And Mobius is like, great, fantastic. So after they leave, Loki appears near Casey. Loki asks where Mobius is, and Casey says they just went to the war room. And we flip to the corridor where with Mobius and B-15 heading to the war room. Loki appears for like 2 seconds and then disappears with that weird, disgusting, flipping your body inside out sound. And they notice it, but then they just move on because they didn't realize what that was. And B-15 says, like, we got to tell them what's going on. And Mobius is like, we have to tell them the truth slowly. And D-90, Hunter D-90, appears from the war room, and he starts apologizing to Mobius because he pruned Mobius in last season. And Mobius was very understanding. We flip back over to Loki, and Loki reappears, and he enters the war room, and the war room is empty. But he looks across the war room, and on the far wall we see like a bas relief of 5 faces of He Who Remains, showing that he is probably back in the past. But then we flip to Mobius and B-15 in the same room, but instead of that bas relief, there's Timekeeper's mural on the wall, which also has a picture of, this is the mural. So it has all the Timekeepers. And we see the Timekeeper's head on the table.
Yeah, the one that they cut off.
The one that Sylvie cut off in the last episode and showed itself to be a robot. And they're listening to a tape of Loki telling everybody at the TVA that they're all variants and that they've been pulled from their timelines and then made to forget. Judge Gamble is there saying that the branches are out of control. And then we flip back to Loki, and Loki sees the reel-to-reel on the wall and starts listening to the last thing that was recorded. And we hear Kang, or He Who Remains. They haven't called him Kang in this series yet.
Yeah. And specifically, if I remember correctly, the closed caption actually does say He Who Remains is the voice. Right,
exactly. So... But we hear him say first that he'd be proud to lead with her, or with this person, not even with her, with this person. And so Loki rewinds it, and we find out that he's specifically talking to Ravonna Renslayer. We flip back over to B-15 in the war room, explaining to the judges that everyone had a life on the timeline. And Mobius is like, we need to at least admit that the timeline is branching and the sky hasn't fallen.
Not yet.
And Dox is saying, this changes nothing. We won't let the timelines branch. And if we don't protect it, you know, what else is going to happen? And B-15 is like going, we're not protecting anything. We've been destroying these timelines and these people. And Gamble said, I've always ever handed down a guilty verdict because the timekeepers deemed it so. And Dox is like, Mobius is pleading with her. Dox is pleading with her from the other side. And Gamble says, look, I can do anything. And she goes, hey, I can do anything. So she sends out an announcement, tell the TVA to stop pruning immediately. Then Loki finally appears in this room. X5 tries to attack Loki, but B15 tells him to stand down. Loki notices that mosaic pick of the timekeepers in the room and then takes X5's pruning stick, the time stick, and jams it into the wall and destroys the mosaic, revealing the bas-relief of He Who Remains behind it. Which was a kind of a nice little touch, I thought.
That's a good effect with the vanishing wall.
Yeah. And Loki states, that's who's coming. And Docs and X5 have a really odd moment.
Yeah.
You think? So what in the show, Docs, General Docs, and X5, they put their heads together and she puts her hand around the back of his neck. I wonder if that's her kid.
That's what I was thinking too. Like yeah. it would be like something like to her son.
Right.
But she says something like the warnings were all correct or something like that.
Yes. Yep. So she basically says, find Sylvie. Take everybody and find Sylvie. So Mobius is asking what the heck happened, and Loki starts telling him what's happened and what happened at the last episode of the last season. And we thought it was about freeing, and Loki says, we thought it was about freeing the timeline, but it was about protecting it. He Who Remains might have been right. They're coming. They're all coming. And he's talking about all the Kang variants. I find it interesting because he has no idea what happened in Quantumania yet.
Right.
He Who Remains, Loki is explaining that He Who Remains was about preventing more of him coming, variants of him specifically. And he tried to stop Sylvie from killing him, but Sylvie kicked him through a time door and did it anyway. So Loki explains that apparently he's been in the past. He's been jumping back and forth. And Mobius says that's impossible because, in the TVA, there is no past.
Well, the time... Yeah, there's no time, basically time travel in the TVA, right?
Right, right. Time doesn't work that way in the TVA. And Loki says, yeah. Well, it does. And then he disappears again. And then he comes back again. we still don't know how or why that's happening. It could be random, I suppose. And Loki also says, Mobius says, hey, let's check with Miss Minutes and see if she can figure out what's going on with this anomaly. And Loki says, yeah, you shouldn't do that because we probably can't trust Miss Minutes. She was there at the end of time.
She was working with He Who Remains.
Right. So Mobius says, okay, then apparently we need to go to repairs and enhancements. And Loki flips back and forth again. Loki mentions He Who Remains Tempad, and Mobius asks if that's his name or if it's if that's just what he calls himself. What was
that? That whole conversation was great because it was like a little presumptuous to call yourself that, and like, yeah, right. But really, is it really if you can back it up?
Right, right.
Because he is the last one at the end of time, so that's his name.
Right. Just basically idle chit chat.
Yeah.
So they enter this.
The entire conversation in the elevator with like, does it look painful? No, it's not that bad. No, it looks absolutely horrific.
Yep.
with Loki rifting in and out like that.
Right. And he was like, I thought you said this didn't look that bad. And then Mobius turns to another person who happens to be in the other opposite corner of the elevator going, what do you think? And she looks horrified.
Just completely off camera for the entire conversation, yep. Except the camera pans over. There's one person just yep. happens to be there.
Yep. So they finally arrive at repairs and enhancements, and they enter the room, and there's a lot of vacuum mail tubes, those pneumatic tubes that from old-timey mail that got sent to Interoffice. And I did freeze frame a little bit, but it's also in the credits. One of the tubes has a banana in it.
I missed that.
It's not clear why.
Why not?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, if
except
you had,
it's sitting on a shelf.
Well, sure, but if you had a vacuum tube system through your offices, wouldn't you just put random stuff in it and send it?
I would, but I'd get fired because I'd be sending random stuff to random people.
Right.
Saying, you asked for
like,
this
why
banana?
Do I have a banana?
Right.
I guess it's lunch.
Yeah, so there are signs around that say, don't delay, repair your temp pad today, and pneumatic tube etiquette. And we meet Ouroboros, played by... I'm going to screw up his name. Kiwi Kwan?
I'm not even going to try because I know I'll mess it up.
who was in Everything Everywhere All at Once and The Goonies.
And, of course, Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's true. Yes, Indiana Jones.
Because he played Short Round back in the day.
Yep. And I thought it was interesting. It felt like a stunt casting to me. For a little bit. And then I went, wait a minute. He didn't get really well known for Everything Everywhere All at Once until after they started filming this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I think he just was
fortunate. He's recently done... He's definitely got a moment lately in the last couple of years because he just did American Born Chinese, which was really good. Everything Everywhere All at Once was an excellent movie.
And didn't he get the Oscar for that?
He did.
Yeah.
He did Finding Ohana 2021. That was also fun. And that was like the first, like Finding Ohana, super out of nowhere, just little movie.
Yeah, I've never seen
that
it.
That was really, really good. And that's the first thing he's done in like 19 years.
So I wonder if it's just like...
He stopped in like 2002.
Yeah, I wonder if he just said, I want to... let me see if I can get some acting gigs again.
Maybe.
You know, maybe he just took a break. But he was great. And so in this, he is also great. He's got that... that same quirkiness from when he was a kid.
Yeah.
It's just like that, just like... Same quirkiness, and they write for him to be like that, which is even better. So Ouroboros is there. Says, "Hey, Mobius, it's great to see you again," and says that and Loki, because Loki's there, he says that Mobius used to call him OB, and he goes, "Oh, and how long has it been?" And Mobius is like, "I don't know, 3 or 4." OB said, 400 years since Mobius last
visited. It's
been
400 years since I've seen him, and he was his last visitor as well, 400 right. years ago. Nobody's been to this office in 400 years.
Right. And Mobius remembers nothing.
Yeah.
I did do a quick search for Ouroboros in Marvel Comics. There's an Ouroboros team from Contest of Champions, and... It was also in an event, but it has nothing to do with him. Like it's like has nothing to do with him. So he wasn't. There was an Ouroboros team in the comics, but again, not related to this guy in the least. So
yeah, a lot of times, or the symbol Ouroboros is usually related to. Because we saw the serpent in. Ragnarok.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's usually referred to the snake that eats its own tail.
Yeah. And for people who are listening, you've seen the symbols. It literally is that circle with the snake eating its own tail.
Yeah.
So Loki disappears again, and Obi says, "Wow, time slipping, but that's impossible in the TVA." But I just saw it.
Look, he's like, yeah, but you just saw me do it. So right. Obviously, and I'm having a hard time reconciling that fact.
Yep. And so Loki pops up in front of Obi in the past. And they're having basically the same conversation. You know, basically, time slipping, but that's impossible. But I'm having a hard time reconciling that. So, all right. So in the future, I'm going to be flipped back and forth between the future and the past because it's happening simultaneously. Future OB says he's seen it once before. Oh, and it was Loki. Because now he's remembering what just happened in the past.
Right.
It's time travel, kids. Keep up. So the past, Loki explains his conversation with OB in the future. And OB's like, you'd think I'd remember that. He goes, no, because it hasn't happened yet. He goes, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So Loki says, hey, if we could stop this time slipping, how would we rectify that? And Obi says, well, you can't
because it doesn't happen, but I just saw you do it.
Right.
So.
He goes, but if we could, we'd have to do it with a temporal aura extractor. And as he's explaining that, he's also explaining it to Mobius in the future. And he goes, yeah, but we don't have one. And in the past, Loki's saying, can you make one? And he says, yes, I can make one. Hold on.
Just hold on to it for me.
Yeah. And so he goes and he fixes it. And Loki goes, okay, so what I want you to do is hold on to it until Mobius stops by and asks for it.
In 400 years.
Yeah. And future OB, we see him and he goes, hey, wait a minute. I have one right here.
And it's not like he didn't like walk off to the back of the office or anything to get it from the shelves. It's sitting right there by his foot on the floor.
Yep. And he goes, okay, so you have to use it in the temporal temporal loom to extract Loki directly from the time stream. And Obi says to Mobius that you have to do it quickly or it'll peel the skin right off of you. And in the past, Obi is explaining to Loki that you have to prune yourself to basically pull you out of the time, and then hopefully the extractor will pull you to the present. And Loki says, well, and if that doesn't work, he goes, have you ever heard about if you fall into a black hole, you turn into spaghetti? And Loki says, no. He goes, good. The less you know about that, the better. And then Loki time slips again to the present. OB's lamp flickers, and he says it's been doing that all day. And Mobius goes, nah, we've been having power surges all day. And OB's like going, that's not good. So we need to go. And they go to the temporal loom.
He's kind of goofy and, you know.
Goofy nerdy.
Yeah, goofy nerdy for the entire thing. And when he gets serious, you really feel the weight of it. Like, oh, this is a bad thing. Because he's like, that's a bad thing. We got to go fix this right now.
Right, right. Like, to the point where it almost felt like he is more key to the TVA than anybody realizes.
Yeah, because he fixes everything.
Right, right.
And nobody knows he's there.
And he doesn't sleep. He just works. So Obi leads them to the loom, and the branching seems to be overloading the temporal loom. They're at the loom. We're saying loom a whole lot. There are signs explaining life-saving protocols for the temporal core, and the temporal radiation signs are all over the place. The doors open, and Obi walks to a computer and says, the loom isn't meant to weave so many new branches. He's never had to come down there. Miss Minutes took care of everything. And Loki's like, well, okay, so how do we...
Of course she did.
Yeah, of course she did. How do we stop it? And Obi's like, we need to prune the extra branches. And B-15 is like, we can't. Like, that means the death of countless people, and we can't do that. He goes, well, all right, so we're going to need to close the blast doors to protect the TVA, and he'll try to figure out how to handle the branches. But in the meantime, Loki starts asking about the time slipping, and Obi says, once the doors are closed, we won't be able to resync you. Loki tries to go prune himself, and Obi goes, no, you got to wait until Mobius has to be in position to pull you from the time stream. So Mobius needs to go out to the loom, connect the temporal aura extractor, pull Loki from the time stream, and get back before Obi has to close the blast doors. And Obi basically says, yeah, you've got like 3 hours, and then a crack appears in the window. He goes, you got like five minutes.
5 minutes.
So Obi gives Loki a timer, and he has to prune himself within moments after it turns green. Green means that Mobius succeeded in connecting the extractor. Okay. So,
and so while this whole conversation is going on, Mobius is freaking out that he said his skin might get completely peeled off.
Right, right.
We had the little argument of which one's worse, being completely ripped apart or, you know, not having skin and surviving. Like, what kind of life are you going to have?
Exactly.
And he writes it on the side of a monitor in the dust, because nobody's been in this damn thing forever. He just writes "no skin" with a question mark.
Right.
It's like, wow, this is really in your head. You're really worried about this.
Or it's being used as a device.
Oh, I wonder.
So.
But like in the moment, right? If you just watching it in the moment, he's completely distracted. And he's really worried. He's just like, "No skin."
Right, and in that context, like Loki's talking to him, and he goes, "So wait, I might be just like destroyed from time, like in an instant I might be gone," and Loki's like, "Oh well, you know, at least the skinning isn't as bad." He goes, "What kind of a life am I gonna have with no skin?" So they have this really odd conversation about it.
The two of them together is such good work. They got great chemistry.
Couldn't agree more. I do, and they seem to be better already this season in terms of how they play off each other.
Like, they jump right back into it. No problems at all. I love it.
So Obi says that if Loki's too late, he'll be lost to time forever. You've got 5 minutes, and Docs, we go back out to the hallway, and we see Docs is raiding the armory to go after Sylvie, and B-15 says, "I'll handle Docs, don't worry about it." So she takes off. Loki time slips and drops the time stick. Apparently what he's holding can't come with him except for his clothes, which is another one of those weird time travel rules that I don't quite understand.
Well, mostly because we can't have him naked.
Well, and that's the whole thing, right? I mean, honestly, the only people that have ever done that aspect of it correctly, or consistently, rather, is Terminator.
Yeah.
Right? Terminator is just like...
The portal burned away all your clothes.
Yep. So we see Loki is back in the temporal core in the future.
That's actually, now that I think about it, that's not exactly true, because they do it right. They do that in Terminator. Everything burns off.
Oh yeah, but you're on that. He's in the future.
Sorry. It took me back a second because I'm like, hold on, but like Back to the Future, whatever's in the car stays in the car with him, because the almanac got brought back to the past.
Right.
So whatever's in that container. You know, so you got conflicting things, right? Yeah, which is always the problem with any time travel story.
Right. Just like, honestly, if you just say whatever's touching you goes with you, then that's okay. That, you know, that's at least a consistent rule. And you can make Back to the Future work that way, because the car is actually doing the time traveling, not you.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. All right, so back to this. Loki is in the future, and realizes, oh, I don't have my time stick. And he realizes he's in the future because the word "skin" is still written in dust on that computer terminal. But everything appears a little bit more urgent. So he's running down the hallway trying to find a time stick, and people are running all over the place. It's panic. It's panic time, because things are going to hell in a handbasket.
And it does feel like it's maybe within like an hour or something.
It's like, because it can't be that far into the future, right?
Yeah, because like the sign on the monitor was still there. It wasn't deteriorated. It was basically the same quality. It's just everybody's rushing around because something's going on and there's alarms going off.
Right.
So it did feel like he just popped like half an hour forward or something like that.
Yep. So we flip to Obi, and he's helping Mobius get into his temporal radiation suit, which gave me heavy-duty Juggernaut vibes, just because of the shape of it and everything.
Yeah.
And for being a futuristic society, this temporal radiation suit...
Everything looks old.
Oh, my God, it looks terrible. It's got a giant hose sticking out of the back of it. I don't think NASA had hoses that were that big when they sent astronauts to space.
NASA doesn't have a temporal lume to deal
this
with.
This is true. This is true. So
I do like the fact that when he puts it on, he's like, is this thing broken? And Obi just slaps a patch of duct tape on it. Like, you're fine.
Yeah. So basically Obi explains that once he's out there, the suit's going to start to age. And if Mobius doesn't get back quickly enough, the suit will age away and then he'll age away and all his skin will be peeled off and then he'll die. Mobius notices the crack in the helmet and Obi duct tapes it and goes, okay, we're good. It.
You're fine.
And I wrote, and here we go. So they, they start heading out. Loki is running down a hallway, still trying to find a time stick. You can never find one when you're looking for one.
So it was in the last place you look.
Right. Everyone's trying to evacuate the TVA at this point. Mobius is moving to the orb where this extractor plugs in. Loki's still looking for a time stick. We're flipping back and forth. Mobius enables the extractor, but it doesn't start. Something's wrong. So he gives it a good kick, and it starts up.
Percussive maintenance?
Yep. Loki's still looking. Mobius activates it. Loki's timer turns green, and Obi's going, hey, it's time. You got like 30 seconds. And Loki's rounding a corner. He hears a phone ringing. And he sees hands in an elevator opening the door. And Obi says, I can't wait anymore. And he pushes the button to close the blast doors to protect the TVA. Mobius gives up, turns back to get back to the blast doors. Loki sees the doors, the elevator doors, and finds out that it's Sylvie trying to open the elevator doors. And somebody
with
else
no headgear with no headgear.
Yep. And somebody else from behind hits Loki with a time stick.
Yeah, and we don't actually see who.
I freeze frame the crap out of that thing to try to find out if we could see anything.
Nothing.
You see the time stick coming through his body, and that's about it. I have a feeling
him to answer the phone.
Yeah,
like the phone is ringing. Get the phone.
I was a little surprised they didn't answer the phone. And I have a feeling it might be X5.
Maybe.
Because he had a mad on for Loki and Mobius. So,
yeah.
But he didn't realize he helped him, I'm sure. So Loki gets hit with the time stick. Mobius sees the extractor pull Loki out of the time stream. And Loki comes flying out of the time stream like a bat out of hell. And hits Mobius and tackles him into the hallway just before the blast doors close.
They forgot the hat.
and we flip to the hallway where B-15 is seeing a ton of Minutemen heading out to find Sylvie, including General Dox, who's in the field. And credits. So they changed the credits for this season. We see a wall of post-it notes where you can read everything clearly. Oh, what a pain in my butt. I
looked through a few of them, but I was like, I know Kurt's just going to go through all of them.
I found nothing. Like, it was, what was weird was there was something that referred to continuity of ancestral pilgrimage, Dark Mountains. And then there was something that said, Yoren's betrayal in the Dark Mountains, and the only Yoren I'm familiar with at all is from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
There was Yoren that betrayed Tyrion. I couldn't, and whoever wrote these like did something weird with some of their letters, so it's hard to read sometimes. I found nothing. Like, nothing that made any sense. So I'm hoping we actually get a little bit of things that make sense. And then, also, they give us a close-up of a book called The Zartan Contingent.
Okay.
And I'm like, The Zartan Contingent? The The only Zartan I'm familiar with is from G.I. Joe.
Oh.
And it's like, I don't understand what's happening. And there was nothing related to Zartan in Marvel, really.
Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Like, they know you do this breakdown, so they're just throwing weird shit at you.
One of my friends that I don't know about is is working on the Marvel shows, and he's just putting these things in to throw me.
Exactly.
Yeah. And on top of everything else, we get a stinger scene. We get an extra scene. So I was not expecting that. So we open 1982 in Broxton, Oklahoma. Branched timeline, it says specifically. Now, before we even get into the content of it, Broxton, Oklahoma is where Asgard was relocated in the comics.
Huh. Okay. But not in MCU.
Not in the MCU. No.
Because they're like at that little
in Sweden
fishing,
or something like that.
Yeah, in Sweden,
right?
Or something like that. Yeah.
So,
little fishing village.
No, this is Broxton, Oklahoma, where they literally had a floating city of New Asgard that was just outside of Broxton, and they became really close with the people in Broxton, and it was a whole thing. And then in a later storyline, Broxton got destroyed and all the people killed by one of Thor's enemies. So that didn't end well for Thor's enemies. So anyhow, Sylvie shows up there and goes into a McDonald's. McDonald's in 1982. And kid at the counter says, "Hey, what would you like?" And she's going, "No rats, no possums, nothing with a face." And he goes, "You could try our new chicken McNuggets." And I checked the menu. The menu was pretty much 1982 prices.
Yeah.
It was really well done. And she's looking at everybody around the restaurant, and she's somehow getting nostalgic, is what it looked like on her face to me. And then she goes, "I want to try everything." And the guy's going, "Okay," cut to black.
One of everything.
Well, so there's been theories already that she is turning a little bit more evil than we know.
You think so? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And because she's starting to think that, you know, if branch timelines means that there's no permanence, then no matter what I do won't matter. Kind of like the Groundhog Day type of thing,
take.
Right?
Yeah, that's a fair take.
So, I don't know. I like the start of this quite a bit. Don't know where we're going at all, except we're like a low-key Sylvie reunion. And the only other thing I can think of is, who are we going to get for a guest star? Because that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And are we going to see Team Loki from the end of time?
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be cool.
I think we need Kid Loki. I think Kid Loki is going to be essential for movies coming up and stuff. I still think they're putting together Young Avengers. Right. So.
Yeah.
And Croaky would be fun.
I would love to see Croaky.
Yep. So.
And maybe dig. Well, they won't do it, but the Frog Thor.
Yes. Yep.
get him out of the one scene that he got.
Right. Right.
There was somebody on my stream a couple of days ago, actually, just posted a link for. There was a cut scene from the first season, and it was all about Frog Thor.
Oh, interesting.
Like, there was a full-on scene. It was either from the first season or it was from What If. And I actually think it was from What If.
Oh, okay.
But they cut it out.
Yeah, because we did see him in the first season, but he was like in a container underground.
Yeah, it was the shot when they went through the layers of the
Yes.
ground to, going into the bunker,
Yep.
and you saw him in a little glass container.
Right.
So
Right.
I think it was a cut scene from What If, like you turn me into a frog and he attacks Loki.
Right. 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 So, I like the episode. What'd you think?
A lot of fun with it. My favorite part was when they went to visit Ouroboros and Loki just giving Morbius crap, like just basically like two buddies standing there chatting, and he's like, "Yeah, really, when was the last time you went to visit Obi over here?" And just ribbing him
Right.
for everything.
Right. Yeah, because Mobius is trying to cover up to pretend that he didn't forget Obi, but he forgot everything because it's been 400 years.
Yeah. Well, plus he's probably had his brain wiped a couple of times since then.
Right, that's true. So, all right, I think that'll do it for tonight for today. Thank you guys for joining us again. We will see you guys next week. Sen, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on Twitch at twitch.com/senraven, mostly evenings and Sunday morning for some Marvel Strike Force and some other games here and there. Did a little bit of Assassin's Creed Mirage and Forza Motorsport and a few other things here and there. So come by and say hi.
Sweet. And I can be found everywhere at VO by Kurt, except on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it today, at where I'm real VO by Kurt. But I've been spending most of my time on TikTok doing my fat guy, fit guy streams and videos and whatnot. If you're at all interested, you can find me on TikTok at VO by Kurt or my new podcast, Plus Size Stories. Where I talk about other people's weight loss journeys. Just to put things into context, I have lost 140 pounds so far since starting to diet last year. And we talk a lot about that. So stop on by. With that, we will see you guys next week. Have a good one.
No skin.
Good enough.